It's Thursday.
Today is Thursday.
I've brought you the greatest gift of all.
Oh, yeah?
Well, in that case...
Entertain me!
It's showtime.
Make use of the help that God puts around you.
We are not a glum lot.
A promise is a promise.
It's very simple. Just don't drink and go to meetings.
Give time, time.
Easy does it. But do it.
Want to have self-esteem? Just do esteemable things.
One day at a time.
We carry the message, not the alcoholic.
Don't quit before the miracle happens.
Hey, with an effective character, three guys talking about our... What? Three guys sitting around talking about our personal experience in recovery. Hey, I'm Mike.
I'm Dennis.
And James here.
The opinions are our own. We don't represent any particular organization, institution, or fellowship. Today, we'll be sharing our experience about oversharing in this episode 232 of the Effective Characters podcast. Let's go.
Woohoo!
Yeah. We started talking about movies and I said, oh wait, I forgot we had to hit record. We got an episode to do. I guess it's not a movie, even though it feels like it. Shows nowadays, they put so much into it. I love it. I love movies, but I also love that you learn more about the characters. And James was saying that are you all the way through, or are you still watching it right now?
I'm on episode 4, I think. Yeah.
Of Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Dennis already watched it. So spoil it, Dennis. What are you?
Please don't spoil it.
It's good. I mean, I don't know. I'm a huge fan of Donald Glover, and everything he's in is good. So this show is no different.
That's on Amazon.
Yeah. It's Amazon Prime. I'm pretty sure like at the beginning, there's this couple that get killed off, and I'm almost positive the couple that we're following are the ones who have to kill them. And I think they're another Mr. and Mrs.
Oh,
Smith. I'm totally guessing. Don't tell me, Dennis.
I'm not saying anything.
Am I right though?
I'm not saying anything.
I watched Fool's Paradise this week, and I agree. It is Faldo, absolutely. Yep, that's what it is.
Oh yeah, right. It's a Faldo movie.
Yeah, it is 100%. A Faldo movie. Yep, it could be. Are you mad at how much money they made off something that they obviously stole from you?
No. It is what it is, man. More power to him. I like Charlie Day too. I think he's talented as well.
Yeah, I watched that, and I'm watching. I've been binging Fargo, and I'm on the final season that they've released so far with Jon Hamm, and it's great. Yeah, it's really good. So
yeah, I'm stuck on season 3 still, and I want to get to the later seasons because I'm more excited about those than the one that I'm watching. But I just can't find myself to watch it.
I think you'll be disappointed with season 4. I was overall. But and what are you watching, Dennis? And then we can jump into the last 7.
I've actually been watching Parks and Rec again. So I'm on like season 2 of that. Did y'all ever watch that with Amy Poehler?
I watched a little bit. I it was recommended to me, and I haven't. Haven't started watching. I feel like dramas will keep my attention, and I'll want the suspense of watching the next episode to see what happens.
Yeah. Sitcoms are kind of like background, so I put it on while I'm like playing Minecraft and stuff. Where dramas, you have to pay attention to.
Yeah. So
wait, before we get into it, sad news. I no longer have Netflix.
But
because
why?
they did a password crackdown. So I've been using my sister's for years, and then all of a sudden now when I open it, they're like, you're not a part of the household that this account belongs to.
Oh, blah, wow. Blah, blah.
So Netflix did a serious password crackdown.
So they're not just saying that. They really did it.
Yeah, I'm blocked from it. I have to use a different account.
Wow.
And they're like, I guess, geolocating it to know if you like visit that house or whatever.
Interesting. Well, and she's in where? She's in Tampa?
Yeah, she's in like Land O'Lakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
That's where the butter's from.
It's true. It is.
Yep. They're doing a butter job and making sure people don't steal it. You know?
Yeah.
That's butter with it.
As long as the other streaming services don't follow suit, I'll be out of luck.
Yeah. Netflix has been hardcore with that for years. You know, and them finally doing it, I'm almost relieved that they're doing it and they weren't just saying it for years for nothing. You know, as much as I don't like you getting shut out, I'm glad they actually went through it.
Yeah. But, you know, like Netflix early on when they were one of the only streaming services, they actually advocated for sharing your password. They would tell people like, oh, share your password. And that's just to get people addicted to Netflix. And then now they're cracking down on it.
Yeah. I only watch Netflix because I can access it through my car. So that way the kids can watch stuff. Outside of that, it's pretty much the only time. But let me see. Last 7 days was fun. Back into the swing. I ended up getting sick again. And now I am better. But like last week, I was really not feeling great. And now I'm on the mend. So excited to get the kids back in the house after they were gone for the last week. And I did my taxes. Yay. Mm-hmm. I always like and hate this time of the year because I do my taxes and I never really know what it's going to be. I'm getting some money back this year, so I'm excited. But in the end, it all comes out. It's either you with taxes, it's either, I know with James' job, it's probably different because tips and everything else he has to, do you usually have to pay in because of your job in the service industry, James?
Yeah, I usually owe money for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but like mine, I don't know. It's year in, year out. It's different when I get to actually say, hey, I have a child that I claim every other year. I will usually get some money back because, you know, that's just how it works. But I don't know. It's the money just usually sits in savings. And then if something goes wrong, it's like a rainy day fund, you know. I don't see it going to anything in particular in the next little bit. But that was a relief just getting it done. And yeah, I like that the weather is getting warm again. I'm sure Dennis doesn't like it, but, you know, I like that. I feel like we'll have a month of this weather and then it's just going to be hot as heck. So kind of ready for the transition in and have plans this weekend. They're having a planes, trains, and barbecue event in Tavares that I have to work. So I'm going to do that on Saturday and bring Olivia out there. So, yeah.
Yeah, I heard that on the radio this morning. I've been listening to your station.
Oh, thank you, buddy.
Yeah.
So it should be good. How's everything with you, James?
Good, good. I was thinking about going to it, but I've never been to the Florida State Fair in Orlando, so I'm going to go to that on Saturday.
Oh, nice.
I used to love fairs in Alaska, so have you guys been to the Florida Fair here in Orlando?
Actually, I have to work it on Monday, so I'm going to be out there Monday.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll go Monday and then go to the planes, trains, and automobiles on Saturday.
It's gonna be a heck of a party, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be hanging out Monday night, like 5:30 to 7:30 out there. Right. I mean anytime there's something different, it's funny because we have the parks and everything, but they're here all the time. You know, going to things that are just a little different. It reminds me of the places that I had been to before where when the fairs come to town, like the whole town, you will find them there, you know, because there's not a heck of a lot. Like when I was in North Dakota, Iowa, even Vermont, that's what they would have to look forward to. And it would be packed and it would be the best 10 days, you know? So pretty fun.
Very cool. And, let me see. I got my son a secondhand electric guitar and an amp, like a little pedal. He's really into guitar, so I got a really good deal on OfferUp. And I'm pretty sure he's an alcoholic because he sold it for so cheap. I mean, the amp I got was like just top of the line, like $400 amp. He sold it for like $150.
You think it was stolen?
No, it had dust all over it. He said it was in his closet. So, and he was like my age, and he seemed like his profile picture said it. He had a shirt on that said Edition Financial Arena, so he probably works there. And who knows? Maybe he just needs to make some money. He does it. He said he didn't play it anymore, so he's selling it. And I was like, oh, man, now all I have to do is get a guitar. He's like, well, I've got a guitar, too. I was trying to sell it for $100. I'll give it to you for $50 or $60. I was like, okay. So wow. He's like, I'll be right back. 10 minutes later, he came back with a guitar and a case and a wire, and so I got basically a $700 setup for $230.
Wow, nice.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, so he'll be surprised. I'm going down to pick him up in Miami on the 22nd. I'll keep him for a couple nights. The wife is doing another ultra race. She's just the crew. So we rented a cottage. I think I shared with you last week about this.
Yeah, yeah. So. That's exciting.
Yeah, I always get excited to go see the boys. But, yeah, just doing the same old.
Nice.
Indeed.
Dennis?
Yeah. Let's see. Yesterday, I woke up at, like, 4 o'clock in the morning to take my dad to the airport to go to Hawaii. Peaches. Yeah. Today, I hung out with Ray, Surfer Mark, Steve, Carmelo, the other Mark, and McNally this morning at the Cornerstone. So that was nice seeing everyone. I also had a decent conversation with Ray the other day about how he's doing and stuff. So that's an evolving situation that I could fill y'all in off of recording because it's not my business, but
sure,
he wouldn't mind y'all knowing. But it was good to see everyone there. Like, it was nice. Haven't seen Surfer Mark in a good minute, so it's always nice to see him. Sweet. Other than that, like, this week on Minecraft World, we had to kick someone off of the server. I think I briefly touched on it before, how we had a meeting with someone with, like, inappropriate behavior, kind of. So they didn't change their behavior, so we kicked them off the server. And so I felt kind of like the bad guy, you know, and they were, like, running around. Like, after we kicked them off, they were going to other people on the server and being like, oh, I got kicked off for my ADHD. And I had to tell these people, I was offended. Like, I have ADHD. ADHD doesn't cause you to do these things, you know? And I had to explain to them, like, no, we don't kick people off of a server because they have signs of mental illness. We'd have to kick everyone off the server because we're all crazy, you know? Or, you know, we wouldn't be playing Minecraft as much as we do if there wasn't something wrong with it. But, so yeah, like, that, like, was a little stressful, you know, and I just felt like a bad guy. Like, I don't know, have y'all ever been in a situation of, like, authority and you have to, like, confront people? And, like, I don't, like, you know, I don't like confrontation. So after you have to make, like, a hard decision, like, oh, sorry, we have to part ways, it's like firing someone for a job. And I just felt like, I don't know, kind of shitty afterwards. I don't know if that's normal or not, but
yeah, I mean, there's some buzzwords that I hear all the time. It's like, people that don't feel emotion are bad after, they must be a sociopath or they must be a blah, blah, blah. And it's, I don't think it's that. I just think your emotions are there. How long did we shut ourselves off from a lot of those and didn't care at all? I had the opportunity both ways when I was drinking and I was a boss, and then when I was sober. And I would, it's funny, I would play the games that in my opinion, terrible bosses do, where you try to trick people into seeing if they're lying to you. I had an employee that said he was going to go do a gig where he was introducing a band, and he decided to not do it and that he didn't want to go. And I heard this from somebody that worked at the bar that the performance was at. And I said, so how'd everything go Saturday? And the employee said, oh, really good. And I said, oh, tell me about it. And he gave this elaborate story. And then I said, it's funny, I know all of that was a lie because I talked to them. Why'd you just lie to me? And I look at that as like a terrible boss. Like, why trap somebody into it, you know? But I at the time I didn't care. And then the next time was just like, hey, I don't know where you are, but you're supposed to be there, you know, and just did it immediately instead of sitting on it. But both ways are uncomfortable, you know, having to tell somebody that they're wrong and that they can't do what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. But other than that, the week's good. I got invited to another S&P, which is kind of cool. Someone saw like my videos and was like, oh, this person would be a good addition to my S&P. So that was like kind of cool little thing. But nice. Other than that, just another week.
Wouldn't there be, if you join another S&P, wouldn't that be a lot of work?
It would. I'm thinking about it. It's like it's completely different people. So I'm weighing like joining, because I spend a lot of time on this one. But like if I do like a couple of hours a week on this one, on this new one, then I'll get the opportunity to meet other people that are doing the same thing. So maybe they're cool. I don't know. Maybe they're not. But like, I also get exposed to a bigger audience. So any like fans that they have would also now see me. So I think business wise, it's a good opportunity. And then I just got to balance my time between the two servers kind of. So we'll see. I haven't made up my mind yet.
Gotcha.
Awesome. Well, the topic that was tossed out last week, I do think there was one that you said, Dennis. Maybe you'll be on the hook. It'll pop back into your head. You can come up with the one for next week. But was joking around talking about how oversharing is something that I know early on I had a tough time knowing what to share. The very first time that I don't know if I remember at this point, the very first share that I did. I remember I was told to, what do they say? Take the cotton out of your ears and put it in your mouth. Which even though it might be, you know, abrasive and taste like garbage, is probably a good thing early on. So that way you can learn a new way that works for so many people, you know? And so when I shared, the first time when I first think that I overshared, it's probably when I gave my first like open talk or the, you know, telling my story that I did, where I wasn't given the parameters. My first sponsor didn't want to tell me, hey, just talk for 20 minutes and that's it. The way the format was set up, it was an hour long meeting and it was tell your story as long as it takes. And then at the end, that time will be used for anybody that wants to identify with it. And I know I overshared and I told some stories that they weren't, they were probably should have just been the fifth step, you know, but told stories of different things that had happened and getting so drunk that this happened and that happened. And I never told those stories again, you know. And as the years go on this year, you know, God willing, in September will be 10 years without a drink or a drug. I don't even really think about those anymore. But those things, at that point, when I gave that first Experience, Strength, and Hope talk, I had only had, that was January, so I had only had 5 months sober. And they said, all you need to do is have had to have done your fifth step. So essentially, I gave an abbreviated version of that. And my sponsor after is like, hey, that's really my bad. I should have told you not to, you know. So I've been taught the difference between oversharing and sharing is when you have some time, you'll realize what you're really sharing is what the problem was, and then the majority of what you found the solution to be. And I use that today. There's sometimes where I'm not able to get it all in. Like, I don't like sharing at a meeting last, because if I share and there's only a couple minutes left or 2 minutes, sometimes even just to get to the point where I'm explaining what the problem was, I don't have enough time to actually talk about how I found the solution. You know, there's so much in so many different ways to attack a problem sober-minded that now it's easy. At first, it was only like, there was like, well, give it to God and do nothing was a lot of the first solutions that I had, and sharing about what the problem is, knowing that I don't actually have to go in, and also to not embellish. I feel like sometimes when you're telling your story, I used to have a issue of embellishing the truth, because I would look at people and they wouldn't be like nodding or identifying. And I'm like, oh, so then I would, you know, try to dig in and just lie, you know, embellishing early on. It just means lying. And that's what I felt like I was still having issues with the first, you know, couple times that I would share in a meeting, you know. But it's really diving back into the past, because I don't think oversharing is an issue that I have now. But I know there are a lot of newcomers that still have issues with it. And that's what works for me. So, James?
Thanks, Mike. Well, I think about I got sober the first few months, you know. Every time I would take just a really nice poop, I would go and tell Talia, come look, this one's green, or look, this one looks like rabbit poop.
And oh my God.
She had a conversation. She's like, this is considered oversharing. You need to keep this to yourself. And she was right. Now I just keep it to myself. And I think about the time I had probably 8 months of sobriety, and I had to get a life insurance policy. So I did it through State Farm, and I had a questionnaire. And then one of the questions was like, have you ever done illegal drugs? And I was like, yes, I have. But I was so happy, because I was like, but I'm sober like 8 months. And I got a letter in the mail like a couple of weeks later, like, denied. I was like, why would they deny me? I said I'm sober going to meetings. And then I shared this in a meeting, and I remember Big Al saying, like, yeah, don't tell them anything. And then I even told my sponsor, Brian, and Brian's like, yeah, insurance companies are the devil. Just know that. They're the devil. I was like, okay. And so that was like an oversharing. For me, I tend to I share what's on my heart, and then I don't share my story a lot, but when I do, I try to hit the key points. I don't go into gruesome details, and I try to keep it with you know, not a huge drunkalog. And then my favorite part is, you know, what happened to me, like my experience with the higher power, and then what I'm like now. My shares today, you know, I try to keep them short. What's going on with me today? It's funny, because our friend Mike M, he was the one who told me early on that he's like, when you share, James, you know, he's like, what I find really interesting is people who share what's going on with them in the current situation and how they respond to it as a sober, recovered person. And I tend to do that more. But he also shared with me, because I was at a meeting, one of the poolside meetings, and I was like, I was sharing that I wake up every morning and I smile and I'm happy to start the day. And I, you know, I go on about God and stuff. Mike came up to me after that meeting. He's like, James, maybe you shouldn't share that you wake up and smile every day, because some people, they just can't hear that. And I thought to myself, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Why
would I
not share? I could, and he was serious. And I think he was talking about himself, like, but, and I was just like, okay, so some people have good information, some people have really bad information. And, you know, I will always overshare on, you know, what God has done in my life. That's just because I will scream it from the mountaintops. I'm so excited. I remember going to, I think it's called FICCIPAW. It was like the youth state convention or something in my first year. And there was a speaker, and he shared, and it was riveting, but it was so graphic. And I was just like, I could not believe what he was sharing on stage. And like, it was all like just the craziest sexual, nasty stuff that you would think. And he was sharing this in front of hundreds of thousands of people. And I was like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, if that ever happened to me, I would never share that. But I'm sure by doing that, he's helping someone. But I think when it comes to oversharing, you just have to follow your heart. Ask help from a higher power, and then invite the Holy Spirit into your share when you're telling your story. And try to have God speak through you. And if you need to say something and it might be over the top, maybe someone needs to hear it. So is there such thing as oversharing? Sometimes, maybe with insurance companies and with your wife. But as far as oversharing, I think it's just individualized per person. So I don't know. That's what I got.
Thanks, James.
Yeah. Yeah, when I think of oversharing, I think of like basically trauma dumping, right? And you see it in a lot of newcomers, which is understandable, because a lot of times for newcomers, it's the first time that they can ever talk to anyone about all of this stuff, because typically we like hold in all of this stuff, you know? And like when you go to a meeting for the first time, like it's a like releasing the release valve and like just flooding out. But it's like trauma dumping, where like you basically like, oh, I did this, this happened to me, blah, 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 blah. And you just go off and just vomit it all out. And, you know, I was told early on that you bring the problem to your sponsor and the solution to the meeting, right? And in the book, it says, you know, we share our experience, strength, and hope in a general way, you know, what happened or what it was like, what happened, and that what it's like now. And to me, that means, you know, the key word there is in a general way, right? So we don't have to go into details about all of the, like, horrible stuff we did. You know, you can basically said like, oh, I was drinking and I lied to my wife about my drinking and hid it. And I don't have to go into the details about every single time that I lied to my wife and like, you know, why I lied. And like, you know, you can turn the one sentence of the generalness of it into like a 3-hour rant on like all the shortcomings you've had in that one topic. And I think like, you know, one, it's no one's business, right? So that's where why we have like fifth steps and sponsors and close friends and fellowship that we can go into more detail with and stuff like that. But in a general meeting, one, we don't have time, but also everyone doesn't need to hear all of those explicit sexual stuff or, you know, all of the details and stuff like that. Like it's not anyone's business, and it also becomes a little less effective, right? So if I like share that I've lied, cheated, and stole, like 99.9% of the people in that room can relate to that, right? But if I tell them the specific situation where I stole something, like say I was shoplifting, or I stole from work, or I embezzled money from my company or something, you know, those are more fine-tuned details that not everyone can relate to, you know, so it there can be a little disconnect there. But I think, like, when you're sharing your story, I think it's important to, like, hit the key moments, but make sure you don't fall into the territory of, like, trauma dumping or, like, drunkalogue, right? So you can, like, cover the, like, what happened rather quickly, you know? Like, I started drinking when I was 15. This was my brief, quick experience of how bad that was at 15. And then I continued, and then fast forward to like 20 years later, it's like at the end of my drinking, this is basically how I was living. And then this is what happened. And then you have a lot more time to like spend on the solution where, you know, where we learn as alcoholics and stuff. But yeah, I typically am a private person and I try not to overshare. And I typically don't. I think the hardest part is getting me to actually share in a meeting than to like actually overshare. But yeah, I think it's something to be aware of. I think if you're early, get a sponsor as quick as possible. And then you can vomit all your stuff out on them and then learn the solutions to that. So then when you go to the meeting and share, you actually have lessons that you have learned that you can contribute to the conversation. Yeah, that's all I got.
Nice. Thanks, Dennis. That's very helpful. Another thing you can do is if you find yourself in a meeting and we're in the room, just start sharing and we'll jab you in the ribs if you overshare. You know?
Yeah, we'll throw things at you.
Yep. Dennis will actually just deflate your tires in the parking lot. We'll give him a little sign.
Don't tell him that was me.
I don't know. It's worthwhile. But, wait, another good episode, boys.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, we'll be back next Thursday sharing our experience, strength, and hope with you with episode 233. We're the defective characters. Entirely ready to have all these character defects removed. Remember to not overshare your experience, strength, and hope, you dope. And we'll see you next time.
You dope. Bye. Woohoo!